Amen. Welcome, Facebook. We want to welcome you today to CLCC service, and we'd love to have you. You can come in here to our church, 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We'd love to have you show up in person, but if you can't make it in person, we're happy that you're here online. So blessings to you. So I would like for you to turn into your Bibles to Mark 14. Mark 14, we're going right into it today. Mark 14. And if you have your phone, you can use that as your Bible app too. Isn't that amazing? It's such an amazing thing. These phones, man, they have really stepped up their game. It's amazing how I used to not have a phone and didn't really care if I needed one or not. But now it's like, oh, I don't have my phone with me. It's bad. It's bad now. I used to go out and play and not have to worry about anything. You know, I'd just be home when I was supposed to be home. And, you know, mom wasn't worried and things like that. Now it's like, oh, you have your phone? Your phone? Where's your phone? You can do things. It's just different world. It's a different world now. So Mark 14, we're going to start in verse 13. So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, the teacher asked, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. I love that verse because it's about our word for this year. Our word for this year is to make ready, church, for this house. Are we making ready? Because if once we read a little bit further on, we see what God does with a ready house. If we're not ready for him to do something, he can't do it. So we need to position ourselves here at CLCC and position ourselves at our home, at our job, wherever we are, and make ready for what God wants to do. Now, sometimes it might be a little bit strange. Sometimes we need to be ready in the grocery store. Sometimes we need to be ready on the job. Sometimes we need to be ready at home. You're like, well, I don't know about those things, Pastor Van. Well, yeah, that's where God's called us to be those things everywhere, to be Christians everywhere, not just Sunday morning, not just before all the other brothers and sisters in Christ. We love you guys. I love you all, but I want you all to be mind-blowing, efficient, effective Christians, imparting love in the gospel wherever you go. That's what it is. We are his ambassadors. We are Christ-like Christians. Carry it wherever we go. We need to be ready and make ready ourselves. And that was our theme this year, make ready. So reading a little bit further along. So we're going to be talking about communion today. And we know the story of communion, so I'm going to read a little bit more of it for you. So while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. He said to them, truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Amen. Communion, we know about it. We're going to do it today, which is great. But I'm always, maybe you guys are like me or maybe you're not. I always like to ask questions sometimes. I mean, that's me. Maybe some people just follow orders. Boom, you know. I mean, if you're married, you just follow orders sometimes. You don't ask the why. You don't ask the things. You just, boom. Honey, you do this. Don't ask why. Just do it. Just do it. That's what it is. It's the best way. Just saying. For you husbands out there, just don't ask why. Don't do it. I'm kidding somewhat. Halfway kidding. Sometimes maybe you should ask why. But normally husbands, you know, that's how it is. So I like to ask why on some things. And so I was asking Lord, you know, I was like, okay, communion, but why do communion? And the answer is pretty simple. You know, you think of a communion, okay, the cross and things like that. But I was thinking about different ways because my mind thinks of different ways of thinking about the cross and things like that. So today I'm going to show you a little bit different of a representation of what the Lord was speaking to me about how the cross works. So I'm sorry for my Facebook friends because this is not going to be easy for them. But it'll be easy for you because I like illustration. I like to show and tell things. So, welcome to court. That's why I got all dressed up. Oh, some of you are like, oh, he's all dressed up because he's going to court today. Normally, I'm not in this dress to the nines, we'd say. But today, we're going to court. How many of y'all been to court? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that question. Don't answer that for whatever reason. I have actually been to court one time. Wasn't for jury duty. I had to go because I unfortunately wrecked my mother's car when I was 16 and had to go to court for that. I was lucky to be alive, period. But I went to court, and so then the judge said, I will not give you anything on your record, but you have to go to a defensive driving class to get a little bit better. I was 16 at the time to be a little bit better driver, and I was glad he did. He didn't throw the book at me, which I was happy about that either, because it could have been something a little bit worse. Because I was 16, I was young, I thought I was indestructible, and you know, when you're 16, you feel that way. When you're 41, you realize you're not indestructible. You realize if you sleep on the pillow wrong, on a nice comfy bed, you still hurt in the morning. I don't understand how that works. I don't get how that works. How can little kids sleep wherever they want to, and then when you get up in the morning, you're a little older, all your bones ache. It's like, what is going on? And if you're older than 40, then maybe it's even worse, and I don't want to even think about that. Oh, Jesus, help me. So, we're going to court. We'll skip up on that rabbit trail, get back on the main subject, okay? So we're in court now. So what do you have in court? You have a judge, of course. And the judge today is God Almighty. Amen. He's the judge. And you don't need a jury for him because he is judge and jury. He sees all, is all, and has all, knows all. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He knows all, sees all, is all, from the beginning of time to the end of time, which that in itself is amazing to think about. That there is no beginning of him. He was always there. Oh, I'm going to answer that. It's all right. Let me answer, Jackie. Let me answer. I'll answer it. You're like, you're here. There we go. Oh, yes. My first one. All right. Hurry up. Who is it? Hello? Hello, this is Jackie's phone. How are you doing today?
Okay.
That's good. Jackie's actually in church right now. This is Pastor Van speaking. Can I pray for you for anything? Okay. All right. Can I pray for you for anything? Are you sure? All right. Well, I'll put you on my prayer list. What's your name? All right, Ken. I'll make sure you're on my prayer list, okay? You take care. Blessings, brother. Bye. All right. That's Ken. Give him a call. Ready, prepared, in season, out. The race started. Boy, I feel like I'm back in Martinsville. Jeez. Because there's a racetrack in Martinsville. Let's do something. God does things for a purpose. Let's all pray for Ken right now. Can we do that? So, Father, right now, we just pray for Ken. Lord, I don't know what's going on in his life. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you're doing is great. And I know you have a great plan for Ken. I know you have great purposes, and you have great things that you can do through him and in him and to him, oh God. I speak healing on his body. I speak healing on his mind. And, Father, I pray that he has an encounter with you today that will leave him forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on. Let's give God a good clap right now. Let's go. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Come on, church. We can be bold. We can do it. It's a little strange, I know. I mean, Pastor Dan, it's a little much for me. It's okay. Not doing it to embarrass anyone, not doing to, you know, play it up. I'm just saying, you know, we need to be effective where we are. Be effective where we are. And I know there's been times in the past that I won't do things because I feel like, oh, I don't want to do it because I'm living in fear or I fear of the outcome. Perfect love casts out all fear. If we're in his kingdom and we're his child, our love for other people, our love for what pleasing our Father should cast out all fear of any type of punishment or any type of consequences that might come because of us acting in faith. And that's something even the Lord's working on me, even still on me. There are times where I've shrunk back and I shouldn't have. I'll be real. There's times I've shrunk back where the Lord said, do this. And I'm like, well, God, I don't know. I'm not in the right place to do this. I'm not. And I'm like, I got other things to do. And I didn't follow him. What might have happened if I followed him? What might have happened to that person's life? What might have happened to that encounter with him, to encounter Jesus on a day-to-day basis? I'll never know because I never went for it. Church, we need to go for it. Go for it. If God speaks to you about doing something, wherever it is, go for it. Be a blessing. You don't have to preach to them. You don't have to give them, you know, Romans road and hey, this is the way and hell of fire and brimstone. You don't have to do that. Can I pray for you? Can I bless you today? Jesus loves you. That's all it is. That's all it is, folks. Amen. So we're back in court. Congratulations. We got God the Father right here as the judge. And then we have the plaintiff over here. Not associated with Pastor Steve at all. Just want to say he's just sitting over here. Don't worry. It's the accuser, Satan. But it's not Steve over here. You want to move? Just go ahead and move. Yeah. We might as well get you. So this chair right here is where the plaintiff would stay. That's where Satan is the accuser. And no relation to Pastor Steve. You don't have to worry about that. Sorry, you're just sitting over there. I'm sorry. It's not the courtroom set up. I can't. I don't make these things. They're rules. So we got the plaintiff over there. Then we have the defendant, which is me and you, right here, sitting on the opposite side. The judge walks in. He's like, all right, all rise for the judge. Everybody rises. Everyone sits down. The judge says, all right, we're bringing this court into order. We have Barry Van Hussen II versus Satan the accuser. Let the court commence. So then Satan gets up and starts saying, well, judge, you know, Barry Van Hussen II, I'm accusing him of not entering into heaven. He should be with me in hell and damnation for all eternity. And so then Satan goes on and presents all these things. Because it shows your whole life. And as you might be sitting over there, and as I'm sitting over there, I'm thinking, okay. Well, I don't remember that one. I remember that. Oh, that was a bad day. Yeah, that was a bad day. Yeah, is he showing this whole, on the screen, all these different choices I made. He's showing all these things that I did. And some were good. Some were not so good. And he's coming over here and saying, if you like to take an image 6, Your Honor, the man here looked lustfully at a woman when he was 16. Yes, that's what he was looking at her like that. So yes, I want to add that to the records. This is what he did. He had a murderous intent, and he cursed out this person. He said it about his mother. I just really didn't do that, but I just want to make sure, you know. You know, just want to make sure. Just using that for an expression. Use that. So that's what he did. And he keeps going. And then Satan keeps going on and on and accusing me. And I'm over here. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's true. I mean, it's the story of my life. I see all these things. And I did all these things. So I can't really argue with it. Because it's all true. It's all playing back all that whole visual. I'm like, okay, all right. And then Satan comes up, he has a little, because he's sneaky. He's sneaky. He's not creative, but he's sneaky. He would say, well, these are the things that he just did. Let's talk about his thought life and what his heart was like. And the judge then says, heart and thought, okay, I'll accept that. And then me as the defendant, I'm like, well, wait a minute. We weren't talking about heart or mind. Those were mine. I can't be judged for that. And the judge will rule. The judge comes over here. And when I say that out loud, he's like, overruled. Go ahead. And I'm like, what is going on? How is he going to judge my heart and my mind? This isn't right. But the judge allows it. And then the accuser, Satan, comes over here and he starts saying, you thought this, you were thinking that, it was in your heart for this. And he starts going down the list. It gets even worse. Worse and worse and worse. And Satan looks at you. He's like, I got you. I got you on all those accounts. And then Satan again, in his sneakiness, would say, judge, I like to make a movement that all his good works be stricken from the record. All good works be stricken from the record. The judge says, all good works stricken from the record. I'll allow it. Now, I'm over here. I don't have any good works to back up, to overshadow any of my bad ones. No good works at all. And I'm like, judge, what about my good works? Didn't they count for something? And then the judge goes over here, overruled. You're out of line, son. And he listens to it. After all the things that Satan has accused me of, still accusing, gets done with his whole laundry list. He says, that's it, Your Honor, we're done. We file for guilty and punishable by death. The judge says, okay, do you have anything to say for yourself? And I'm like, what do I say? What do I do? He just showed me my whole life, my motives, my heart, my thought process. He shows it all to me. I can't say no, it didn't happen, because it's there in black and white on the screen of my life saying this is what it is. And I can't do anything. And then also on top of that, all my good works, all the things I thought would even me out or keep me above everything, all of them have been struck from the record. None of them matter now. I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? And then in the back, a hand pops up. And the judge sees it. He's like, yes, you have something back there in the back. And then you hear a voice from the back saying, Father, I have a defense. For Van Hussen. Father, I have a defense for him. And the judge says, please approach the bench. Jesus comes walking up. And he says, I have a defense for Van Hussen. He says, Your Honor and my Father, I paid the highest price for him, that all that has been happened, all that he has done, would be forgiven. All that he will do and that he has done would be completely erased from his record. The judge then says, okay, all right, I'll allow it. But then the judge says this, which I find very interesting. The judge says, do you accept this? Barry Van Hussen II. Do you accept him doing that for you? And sometimes, folks, even though the price has been paid, we don't accept it. We have friends that don't want to accept that. And I remember when I was much younger, when I was 6 years old, I asked Jesus into my heart and then rededicated my life to him at 13. And I said, yes, Jesus, I'll accept you as my defense. We have the plaintiff over here, Satan, going berserk, saying, this is impossible. This can't be done. There's no way that that covers all of it. There still should be something there. And the judge says, overruled. Come on. Let's give him a clap right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And then the judge decrees at that moment, says, Barry Van Hussey II, you are pardoned of all that sin. You are pardoned and you are free. Now, folks, that is a great representation of what Calvary did for us. And we do communion to remember what Christ did on Calvary. We have a choice to accept him or to not. We can live our own lives. God's not sending us anywhere. We're not going to go to hell and damnation because God is sending us there. We're living in a sin full area. We're living in a sin society. We're living in a fallen world. That was a choice by Adam and Eve that were well before us. We live in an unfair world. It's where we're all headed. But because of Christ, we can spend eternity with Jesus. But it's not just about eternity. It's not just about spending it in heaven with Jesus. It's not just about that. That is a great byproduct. That is a great thing to happen. And yes, that is important, but that should never be our focus. Our focus is we get to spend this life here with him. And how we spend this life here on here with him will greatly glorify him in the earth and in heaven. Because there's nothing better than spending time with Jesus. You can give me anything. You can give me any situation. You can give me the best seats in the house to a college basketball game that I would love and appreciate. You can give me NBA tickets. You can give me to the Super Bowl. Or you can even put me, you know, at a Taylor Swift concert. I'm not a big Swiftie. I'm just saying. You could go think of any grand thing, anything that would be amazing. You could get me on a 9-day cruise to the Bahamas. You know, you could get me anywhere you want. Some of y'all are like, amen, let me sign up for that. Yeah, woo, Jesus' cruise, amen. Any of those things. But let me tell you, during those times of great joy, great happiness, there is nothing in comparison to spending time with Jesus. Nothing. When you have an encounter with Jesus, nothing is even close to that time with him. So today, we're going to do communion. Facebook, thanks for signing up. We'll see you guys later. We love you guys. Be blessed. We're going to get ready for communion here. And this is why we do communion. This is why. All I need two of you guys. It's fine. Or just two. It's fine. We don't need three. Or if you three want to come serve, I don't mind. I mean, it doesn't bother me. You can come on up. I'm just saying all I need is two. But if you want, if four of you want to come up, that's it. Hey, well, the more the merrier. I don't know. So I'm relaxed here. It's relaxing. It's no worries. So as we take communion today, we're actually going to do it a little bit differently. So I'm going to have our servers pass out all the elements today, and we're actually going to watch communion being served by Dan Moeller, actually, on our video feed. Now, I want, as we do this, I want you to participate with him. So whenever he says to take the bread, we're going to take the bread. When he says to drink the cup, we're going to drink the cup. We're going to do it all together. And I love what he's sharing about that. So we're going to do that all together. So Pastor Kurt and Frank, come on up. We're going to go ahead and serve it. We're going to wait till everyone gets all the elements so everyone can listen. This is the man who's going to be speaking here May 11th and 12th. Go ahead and put those up for you. And so I'm going to let Pastor Dan give communion today and get you guys a little bit more familiar with him. And I promise you, if you're here for the conference, it's going to blow your mind. I can promise you. I've listened to this man for about a year now, and he not only preaches, he lives it day to day. And it's amazing to me about the way he preaches is the way he lives. I'm like, God, I want to be able to do that more and more. I don't want to just preach a good sermon on Sunday. I want to live it during the week to its fullest. So you'll be seeing me reference Pastor Dan Moeller here as we get closer to that May 11th date, May 12th. Now, I do realize that it's Mother's Day. I do realize that. It's a very important day. But how awesome is it to bring your family, to bring friends, to hear someone that really hears from the heart of God, that loves God so much, and with passion and zeal, because boy, he has it. And he's no spring chicken either. He has it, which is amazing. So once everyone's served, we'll go and play that. And then after the video, we're just going to take a moment just to reflect on what God has been speaking to us today. All right, gentlemen, if you can start that up for me.
You ready? Just get personal right now. I'm gonna lead in a minute, but right now I want you to just take about 30, 40, 50 seconds, a minute, and just thank God for Jesus, for the body. And just begin to reflect on whatever you know about the body right now in your heart. Just hold that and just thank Jesus. He really did come. He was beat. He was bruised. He gave his flesh, surrendered, sacrificed, put himself on the cross, faced and conquered death so you never have to die. He was separated from the Father so you could forever be joined with him. Just think about that. It's amazing. Just thank him right now for the body. If you're online, if you're online, man, get some elements. If you don't have elements close by, right now, if you're online, just begin to reflect on the body of Jesus Christ. Just begin to thank God that he died for you because he loves you, because your life's worth living, because he sees value to your destiny and to your purpose. And he made it possible. One died that all could live. You were the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Your innocence was given and yielded up so that my guilt could be removed away. It's amazing. You raised literally from the dead in this body. Came up with a brand new body. You came up raised from the dead, firstborn from the dead, firstborn among many. And when you raised, I was justified. I was made clean and pure and right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have every right to life because you live. It's good. I hear a lot of whispering out there, a lot of prayer. And just begin to talk and thank and get personal about the body. Even if it's two things, one or two things that are real to you that you know he accomplished in his body. See, he was beat beyond description. You couldn't even tell who he was when they were done beating him. He yielded his flesh to the place of being undescribable, unrecognizable. That's amazing. They beat him and beat him. He was marred more than any of the sons of men. You've heard me preach that before. The revelation came to me that when sin got done with Adam and Eve in the garden, they didn't look anything like they were created to be. They lost their appearance. They lost the glory of God. They lost the image of God. Jesus came and was beat beyond recognition and lost his recognizableness, if that's a word, so that we could be restored back to what we looked like in the first place. That's incredible to me. That's the stuff Holy Spirit will teach you and show you when you stop, look, and listen, and take time. because you wonder, why did it have to be so brutal? Because sin was so brutal. We all died through one man's disobedience, but much more. Much more. See, what Jesus did so crushed sin and the effects of sin. Much more. Through one man's obedience, we're all made righteous. Father, we just hold this up and we thank you for the body of Jesus Christ. We've taken time. We've pondered in our hearts. We've personally thanked you and we've appreciated the sacrifice. Let it grow in revelation and understanding and even in appreciation. Let our eyes and our understanding see what Jesus accomplished more than ever before. And as we enter into this communion time and even this school and as we go on, we just dedicate this time to you. And we say, even as you gave all that you are, the best we understand, we give all that we are to know you and to become more like you, to manifest you by the Spirit of God. So we take this and we thank you that we're in covenant. And all that is yours is ours. And all that is ours is yours. And we thank you for the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Take your little cup. Just thank him for the blood. Most of us know for sure that the blood was shed to forgive us of all sin. Every act of sin ever committed. When the body, when you're taking that body, you know, the blood was shed to forgive the act of sin. The body was given to remove the effects of sin. Where does the effects of sin reside? Usually in the body, somewhere in the soul, in the mind, in the flesh. So Jesus was made to be sin, and everything that sin was and brought was put on him so it could be taken off of us. He cursed sin in the flesh by making his son sin on the cross, hanging on a pole, anything hanging on a pole, cursed by God. And sin shall have no dominion over us. You are not under the dominion of sin. Righteousness rules and reigns in our hearts. Amen? And we've been talking about it all week long. So take this blood and thank God you're absolutely forgiven. That sin has lost its power. Death has lost its sting. That you are not ruled by yesterday, the past, mistakes, failures. You stand in the presence of God because of the accomplishment and finished work of Jesus Christ. You have a high priest who's passed through the heavens, and you have access to the Father. You can receive his love, his grace, his mercy, his power. You stand righteous because of the blood that was shed. The blood's on the mercy seat in the holy heavenly tabernacle in heaven, and it speaks mercy over your life. You go free. That's amazing. Just thank him right now. Take 20, 30 seconds. Thank him for the blood for your own life. Thank God that he loves you. He forgives you. He made you completely clean, completely pure. Thank him that you're spotless. Thank him that you're holy and blameless and above reproach. That's blasphemy, brother. No, it's Colossians chapter 1. Thank you for your word, God. Your word was made flesh, you came, you dwelt among us, you manifested who you are and who we're called to be. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the blood that was shed that made us right. That revealed to us so much that we're learning and growing in. We honor you, we receive the blood right now of Jesus Christ and we stand clean and righteous because of your goodness and your justice. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Thanks, God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Is that good or what? Can I use your table? I didn't take that. Like, you could take that in a church setting, and you could preach that out and stir that up and take that corporately. I took my time. I stayed real kind of low-key, actually, because I want us to learn when we're alone to activate our heart and just get real, you and God. Amen. We're always being led into things and following. And it's just real good to take time. And I don't care if it's quiet. I don't care if it, you know, doesn't seem like I'm not looking at in the school, especially taking communion like that, just for the corporate setting as much as your heart's responding to God at some level. Some people have a more of a capacity to respond at a bigger level than others. Some just have one or two thoughts that are becoming alive to them. You camp there until they live in you, and then another one will grow. You see what I'm saying? See, I don't want to know the whole Bible. I don't want to know the word. I want to become that word. I want to read that and go, yeah. You see what I mean? I don't want to just read it so I can quote it, and then at the coffee table, you know, or out there and we're having a spiritual conversation, I feel like I'm in the conversation because I know what the Bible says. No, I want to become that. I told you last week about the Crossroads Christianity thing.
Let's go ahead and pause that music. Thank you. I want to become that. Amen. So this is why we do communion. This is what Christ did for us. And it's so awesome. So awesome. Every time we do communion, help us always to remember what it was that Christ did for us. Never to forget. Always to remember. And maybe it's just one or two things, like Pastor Dan said, maybe it's one or two things, and that's fine. But hold on to one of those two things, and then something else will spring from it. Another revelation, something that God wants to speak to you through that. And it's amazing. And then you get maybe two or three, and then maybe a fourth one. And sometimes you might get a fifth one then after a while. And sometimes something just breaks you down. And you just weep because you got the revelation of what Christ did. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being overwhelmed emotionally by what Christ did. There's nothing wrong with being overwhelmed physically with what Christ did. That's why sometimes in movements of God, you see people on the floor for hours because their bodies just can't, are just enamored with what Christ did. The realization, the revelation of it. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Well, let's actually close out in prayer today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you today that you gave us a new picture of communion. You gave us a new picture of you on the cross and what you did at Calvary. That you're showing to us revelation. You're speaking to our hearts. You're speaking to our minds. You're speaking to our souls. You're speaking to our spirit. We thank you, Father, that you are. We love you. We appreciate you so much. But Lord, help us to become like you. We have perfect standing in righteousness because of the cross. We are blameless before the throne because of what you did, Father. Help us to live it and not just hear about it. Help us to believe it, to trust it, and not just live selfishly with it. Help us to wake up in the morning, and when we look in the mirror, we see a reflection of Jesus and not who we are. Help us to embrace it wherever we are in our areas of influence, whether it be in the grocery store, whether it be at work, whether it be where our kids are playing, whether it be in church, whether it be us getting gas, wherever it would be. Let us embrace it. Let there be no disconnect, Father. Because perfect love casts out all fear. And there's no fear of consequences because we're in your perfect love. And you are Lord of all. Not our boss. Not what the store owner might think. Not what people around us might think as well. But you, O Father, are perfect love. And love gives away. It does not envy. It does not boast. But it gives away life. Father, help us to give away life today as we leave, Father. Let us be transformed in the revelations as well as transformed in what you've taught us today, what we've learned from you today, whether it's on our phone or in our notes, wherever it is, whatever you've downloaded today in our spirit, Father, help us to remember and help us to bring it forth. We thank you, Father, that today we are empowered by you, God, that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and we can go out in this world, that we're not living from a defeated place, but we're living because we are the victors, Father, that we're not the victims, oh God. We thank you, Father, that we can enjoy this world because of you and spreading your love, and there's no greater joy than seeing others come into your kingdom. We thank you, Father, today as we leave, let us be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, church, y'all are dismissed. Glad to see you come out. If you would like prayer, I will be up here for a few minutes. If you guys want to put on that music real quick. If you're not, blessings to you guys and have a great day.